But I realized in that moment, I had no idea what city I was in, and I had no idea what day of the week it was.
You are listening to the Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness, your number one resource for practical tips and insights, empowering you and your family to live well with Alzheimer's. Welcome to episode 75 of the Alzheimer's Podcast, your number one source for practical tips and insights. I'm Mike Good of Togetherness. My goal is always to empower you and your family to maintain a positive experience, reduce and eliminate the need for unnecessary medications, and make your time together with those you care for the best it can be. We know that being a dementia care partner can be frustrating and stressful at times. Sometimes there's so much going on all at once, and it feels so overwhelming that you can start asking yourself, what if I'm getting dementia too? And that thought causes even more stress. In this episode of Navigating Rough Terrain with the Dementia Sherpa, Christy and I discuss how to figure out what's really going on for you, because it's probably not dementia, the simple changes you can make to start feeling better, and the key to even being able to make changes, and we look at a couple of real-life case studies from Christy's experience. Christy, the more I've been around Alzheimer's and dementia, the more I start to look at myself and wonder if some of my conditions could be, you know, Alzheimer's or dementia related, or am I just overtasking myself? And I know that caregivers who are really close to loved ones who have dementia and are in the throes of, you know, all those caregiver duties often start to wonder if they themselves are getting dementia. So this should be a really interesting topic to see how you discuss and handle this with your clients. So what do you tell someone when they start to wonder if they're coming down with, if you will, dementia?
Well, I think this goes back to even how your person would be diagnosed. And it's a diagnosis of exclusion. So we look at what all could possibly be going on. And with caregivers, one of the big problems is the stress. It is so stressful to try to manage your own life and make sure that your person is okay, that they're safe, that they have great quality of life, that they're engaged, that they're entertained, that they're feeling good. And so often as care partners, we want every day, every moment to be like that virtual trip to Disneyland where our person is happy all the time. And it's not that that isn't a great goal. It's just that, number one, it's not realistic. And number two, we end up piling a whole bunch of stress on ourselves. And what that does is really decreases our cognitive performance, which can then make us start having those thoughts of, oh my gosh, what if I have dementia? What if I'm getting dementia too? Which is a stressful thought. And it's like a dog chasing its tail, just turns into this vicious circle.
Yeah. And I've seen this quite a few times from care partners, and I never really knew what to say to them or how to help them out. But I do know I could always see the worry on their face, and it is something we all worry about because we've seen the effects of it, and that stress, whether it's in caregiving or in any other aspects of life, can totally just throw us off our game.
It's absolutely true. But here's a real life story. So I have a client that I adore, and he is taking care of his wife, and she has a diagnosis of Alzheimer's. And I, in my interactions with him, I was wondering, because I was showing, I was definitely picking up signs of cognitive impairment. And so I was starting to wonder. And I knew that he was pretty stressed out too. So we've been working together about 6 months now. You know, he is not showing any signs of cognitive impairment now. And what it is in his case is he was really stressed out because he didn't know how to best help and assist and support his wife. We've been working together. He's learned new skills, new techniques. The home environment now is really positive. There have been some significant positive changes. His stress level has dramatically and significantly reduced. He's not showing any signs of cognitive impairment anymore. And I say that because a lot of times we throw that word stress out there, like, oh, I'm so stressed, and or this traffic is stressful or whatever in the moment, and we kind of make light of it. And it is really serious. Stress is very serious. It does cause detrimental effects. Alleviating stress definitely also makes a change. It's just a very positive change. So when care partners are concerned about this, the first thing that I want to always reassure care partners is stress is something that can be managed. You will start to see improvement in cognitive function. And by making some simple changes, and we never confuse simple with easy, right? Because change is not easy. It doesn't feel easy anyway. But there are simple changes. You'll see a definite improvement in cognitive function. If there are still concerns after these changes have been implemented, then it's time to go to the doctor.
Okay. You know, I was sitting here kind of trying to imagine myself or a care partner in that really stressful home situation. And I feel like when you're that stressed out, your senses kind of shut down and only let you focus on kind of one thing. Like the things around you are kind of, you're shielded from them. For instance, if you're so stressed out and someone over here is kind of trying to tell you something, you're not listening to them because you're stressed and focused on that thing that you're worried about. And I think that's somehow there's part of that happening too, right? Maybe.
I think that that's true. And certainly with the people that I work with, they have to have a willingness to hear.
Right.
And I say that because of exactly what you're describing. And it's kind of like the drowning person. If someone jumps in to save the drowning person, but the drowning person is panicky, it's almost impossible for them to be saved or rescued because they're so panicky that they will pull down the would-be rescuer.
Right.
And if instead they're able to just hear what the would-be rescuer is saying, maybe something along the lines of, need you to relax your body, stop kicking, stop fighting the water, and I'm going to pull you in. I'm going to help you. Then you're going to have a good result. Whereas if someone's mind is so focused on continuing to do what is not getting a good result, there's definitely going to be significant problems. And so in my case, I'm not able to help everyone because everyone's not there. They're not at that point where they can hear and do have. And really all it requires is that little ounce of, or half ounce, quarter ounce of faith. And the faith that I ask people to have is that things can be different. And I don't mean different in a neutral way, but I mean different in a better way. And they don't have to know how that can be so. They don't have to believe that it's absolutely going to be different. They just have to have faith that there's that possibility. And then the willingness to implement what I'm showing them how to do, the willingness to practice the techniques I'm teaching them, the willingness to develop new practices, habits, or skills that I'm recommending. So we start with baby steps, because when you do feel like you're drowning, literally or metaphorically, it's very difficult to hear. So the first thing is just that little ounce of faith, that little quarter ounce of faith, and taking one small baby step at a time. And then people can start making great strides,
right,
and really seeing some significant change. But that's a very good point that you make. It is tough when you are in that moment and feeling so stressed out that it's almost like you don't know which end is up. I had this experience myself shortly after I opened my business. And I was working in, at that time, it was 5 counties. And meaning physically going in 5 different counties. And at one point, I remember, and I was out of the house probably 14 hours a day seeing clients, because of course I go where people live. And somebody said something to me, I don't remember what it was, but I realized in that moment, I had no idea what city I was in. And I had no idea what day of the week it was.
Wow.
Just completely no idea. And I actually had to look at my calendar to have a response to the person. And I was that disoriented. So I was sleep deprived. I was stressed out. I was clearly not at my best.
Right.
And what happens then is your brain lies to you.
Right.
And tells you everything's terrible.
And just for our new listeners, I want to make sure that they know, you know, you have family members that you've cared for who've had dementia and have dementia. You've worked with over 1,200 families and individuals who have dementia. So you're been around it a lot more than most people. So that scary feeling, I can only imagine. Because that's one of the symptoms, right, of not knowing where you are and that whole navigation thing. I'm sure that was at first really set you back, right?
Oh, yeah. My throat got dry. My stomach dropped. My heart sped up.
Right. And I think it's really important that, you know, you talked about faith. And the fact that you've seen clients who you recognized signs of some cognitive issues, but who, after you help through and you help them reduce their stress over time, those symptoms went away. I think that case study and proof that it was just stress related is very key to helping people have faith that, yes, you know, that is a possibility, that I can too also get educated and get help to overcome and reduce my stress and get my cognitive stability, if you will, back.
Right, right. And it just, like I was saying, it sometimes your brain does lie to you. And when you have a lack of sleep, when you're stressed out, when you feel like you have a huge problem, but you're not sure what the solution is, of course you're going to be stressed out. It's going to feel awful, but it absolutely positively can change.
Yeah. So what did you, when you had this issue, you had that moment, and I'm sure that was a kind of a wake up call. And what steps did you take to overcome that and get yourself back on track, if you will, and understand that it was just you overworking yourself?
So very honestly, the first thing I did was I answered whatever that question was. I looked at my calendar, answered whatever that question was, excused myself. I went into the bathroom and cried.
Oh no. But maybe that's good to get that release, or I'm not sure.
Yeah. I think it was, because, you know, there's a difference. You can look under the microscope, you can see the difference between happy tears and sad tears and scared tears, you know, positive or negative tears. And those negative tears look really ugly. It's like gunk. That was good. I got that out, got that gunk out of there. And I needed that release. And I feel very lucky that I had that experience, because I feel it gives me more empathy and compassion for my clients and what they're going through also. But I think probably the most important realization was to understand I was not going to be able to turn it around immediately and overnight. So it was a process. And one of the first things was looking at my calendar for that day. Was there anything on my calendar that was not absolutely necessary? So in that particular time, a lot of what I was doing was marketing and networking and trying to make my business known. So I was able to scale back on that. Honestly, as a professional, that's my responsibility, is to show up as the very best version of myself when I'm working with clients. I need to be 100% on, because they deserve that. And so that, just taking the problem seriously, number one. And then number two, okay, what's absolutely necessary, what's not, get rid of what's not necessary. Number three, and this is huge, it was sleep. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep doesn't mean you're lazy. Sleep doesn't mean you don't want to do anything else. Sleep is necessary for your brain. It's like plugging in an electric car. The battery has to get recharged. And just there are multiple documented ill effects of lack of sleep or not enough sleep. And there is no such thing as being able to catch up on sleep. So just saying, this is it. This is the time I go to bed. This is what I have to do. And then having some physical activity too, because I was spending so much time in the car. So, and again, it's one little step at a time. Okay, sleeping and, you know, going to bed an hour earlier, or, you know, from 5 hours of sleep a night to 6 hours of sleep a night, just making those improvements. And now I'm very dialed in on sleep. But walking around the block or parking at the farthest end of the parking lot and having a farther walk into the building, right, whatever the situation was. So it wasn't like a dramatically like, okay, I realize there's a problem and tomorrow everything's going to be completely different. It didn't work that way. But in what now in retrospect, of course, seems like a very short period of time, things did change. And it's just about making those various improvements over time, daily. It's what we do every day that makes that cumulative effect. And that was how I got to that low moment, was the cumulative effect of doing maybe not the most genius things every day. Cumulatively, I ended up with, you know, sleep deprivation and a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm. And I know when you're running that hard and you do lay down to go to sleep, sometimes your mind won't shut down and let you, or you'll wake up at 3 a.m. and that crap, if you will be on your mind, or maybe
right.
And then you have that insomnia mid-morning, you know, and somehow getting that out of your system and kind of cleansing yourself, if you will, is vital too. But I'm not sure how that can be done, because I always struggled with that insomnia part when I was overworking myself.
Yeah, again, I think it's one of those things of kind of making that commitment that I'm going to do something differently. That's really a big deal. And the next piece of that being what specific things that I can I do? So in my case, and I know this really seems counterintuitive, but I started drinking a lot less coffee. because I was going through that cycle of just a whole bunch of caffeine. And then, of course, there would be the crash. And so now I need more caffeine. And then, and what it does ultimately, at least consuming the tanker trucks full that I was consuming, was creating really jangled nerves and not helping me think straight. Doing quite the opposite, you know, my mind racing and then not being able to fall asleep easily, not being able to sleep all the way through the night, that kind of thing. So I just started drinking more water, which I know seemed like, come on, Christy. But here's the thing. Both are diuretics. So in other words, both make you have to pee. And if you're worried about waking up or staying awake, needing to pee will do it every time. So throughout the day, just drinking a lot of water, you know, I was awake, no problem. But again, it wasn't like, okay, I drank, 12 cups of coffee today. So then tomorrow I drink only water. It didn't work like that. It was substituting some things out. So it's, again, just the commitment to making the changes and then doing one thing and then the next thing and then the next thing until pretty soon you're seeing some pretty dramatic changes.
Right. So I think when we're asking ourselves, could I be getting dementia, there's also the piece that it takes two components, I believe, for a diagnosis of dementia, right? I mean, it's not just memory loss by itself. You have to have another.
Yeah, dementia is definitely about more than memory loss. And so let's say, you know, there's you and you could have that concern, but even let's just go back to what if you have a loved one that you think may have dementia? Well, the diagnosis process is exactly the same. And the first thing is you start with typically a primary care provider appointment. And then the next thing is looking at getting the lab work done. And that right there often solves a problem because thyroid function can affect cognitive function. So if the thyroid is out of whack, that a blood test will be able to detect that and medication can fix that. Depression could be another issue. Liver function can be an issue. There are just all these vitamin deficiencies, all these different things that can be issues that lab work can help detect. And then if there are any of these other conditions, having those conditions treated will often completely eliminate any cognitive function symptoms, but not always. So sometimes there's an improvement, but it hasn't completely fixed the problem. And so then there's MRI testing or PET scan, those types of things. So as much as people don't love the idea of going to the doctor, especially if they're concerned about their memory, it's really important because there are other things that could be the cause or the issue that are fixable. And that is a great way to find out is to go to the doctor. Also the only way to find out. And then getting that comprehensive plan together. So you're dealing with whatever medical issues might be the underlying cause. And then also you're a whole person. You're about more than your heart or your liver, what have you, your thyroid. Getting the sleep, good nutrition, getting some physical movement, drinking plenty of water. All of those things, they don't sound like a big deal on their own. You put all of those things in conjunction, it's a pretty big deal. It makes a massive difference in your quality of life. And the magical thing about actually getting enough sleep and, let's say, drinking water, let's say just those two things, is your attitude gets so much better. Your state of mind gets so much better. You feel more optimistic and more positive. doesn't mean that suddenly life is problem free or that everything is perfect. It just means that you have the resiliency, and it's a ready reserve of resiliency to manage or tackle whatever challenges you see in your path.
Okay. So if I'm, you know, I'm in my kitchen and all of a sudden I realize I forgot to go pick something up for, you know, my loved one, or I forgot to do something, and this has happened two or three times in the last month, then maybe I need to step back and just kind of say, am I more stressed out than normal? Am I getting enough sleep? Am I simply trying to multitask too much? Because I see multitasking, some people are better at it than others. And with caregiving, I mean, there's so many tasks to do aside from just your basic, you know, your life, that now you're trying to do all these different things, and you're bound to forget something unless you keep a really diligent to-do list.
Right. And so one thing is looking at what is truly necessary. I know you'd love to have all the laundry completely done, but does everybody still have clothes to wear? Yes. Okay. Skip the load of laundry today, or the three loads of laundry today. Like, it will still be there. Unfortunately, the laundry fairy is not going to show up overnight. so that's one thing, is to look at that. Another thing too, and this is important just in the moment, goodness sakes, go to a caregiver support group. Right. Either go to a physical location, find an online meeting, which you can definitely do. Call an empathetic friend or family member. Get some support. Get some support. You deserve that. And a lot of times, just saying it out loud and talking it through, it's like, oh, okay, I see now, after I've said whatever I needed to say, that my thinking wasn't really straight here. And I was really scared, and I am really exhausted, and this does feel overwhelming. And just being able to say it out loud and realize what's happening can be extremely helpful and alleviate a lot of that negative feeling, which then in turn does help you think more clearly.
This is a really great episode, Christy, because I know so many people worry that they too are getting dementia. So I'm so pleased that you're able to share, you know, your experience, some of your clients' experiences, and how that you were able to, you know, turn those around and remove that doubt with through faith and taking action to to get, you know, reduce your stress, get more sleep, decide what is really got to be done, and then, you know, and then if they're still concerned, then to go to a doctor and start to, you know, get that blood work done. And I think all those things are important, because worrying about this, it just compounds things.
It absolutely does. And it's just one of those weird things we as humans do. Like, there's a big problem. Okay. And some of us just instinctively are like, I should stick my head in the sand. No, you should not.
Right.
That is not helpful. Why not jump right in and fix the problem, or do what you can to manage the situation, alleviate the symptoms, turn the ship around, instead of wasting your precious time and energy in hoping that it goes away.
So I will put some resources on the show notes page related to stress reduction, to getting better sleep, and to finding support.
Absolutely. One thing that I wanted to add, Mike, is that I know a lot of adult kids, when they have a parent who's living with dementia, often ask, does this mean I am going to get it too? And I think one thing that's really important for folks to know is that the number one risk factor for developing dementia is age.
Not genetics.
So, Exactly. So, like, for example, genetic cases of Alzheimer's disease, out of all the cases of Alzheimer's disease in the whole wide world, 3 to 5% are genetic.
Okay.
That is an extraordinarily small number. And usually in those situations, the disease symptoms appear in one's late 30s or mid 40s, somewhere in that range for that genetic type. So please don't stress yourself out anymore. Right. And then the other tool that I really like to use, and this will help you figure out, like, oh, could it really be stress? Sometimes you need to see with your own eyes, yeah, it's really stress. It's called the caregiver burden scale. And I hate the title of it, but it is a good tool. And you can just do your self-assessment. You just answer the questions and the score is right there. And it tells you where you are in sort of this stress zone. And the higher your score, the worse your score is. And that means you need to take some action to start moving in the other direction. You need some additional supports and some lifestyle changes as far as managing your stress and getting sleep and things like that.
Okay, I'll be sure to put a link to that also on the show notes, as well as something I forgot I had, which is some information on, do I have Alzheimer's or dementia, which includes some genetic data there too. So, okay,
good.
Christy, thanks again for another wonderful episode on the Alzheimer's podcast. And as always, I look forward to talking with you again next week.
Me too, and thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Bye.
Bye.
This concludes our conversation with Christy Turner, the Dementia Sherpa, right here on the Alzheimer's Podcast, your number one source for practical tips and insights. Be sure to check out the show notes for any mentioned resources or links at togetherinthis.com/episode75. And if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, you can do so there, and that way you won't miss any upcoming episodes. Bye, and I hope you return next week. You've been listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness. For more information and to get the resources mentioned in this episode, visit togetherinthis.com/podcast.